ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. We're reading from this green book on page number 31, and the text is 19. Okay, I'm going to do the Sanskrit and then please repeat. I may go a little bit slow because I made a vow recently that I only read the Devanagari, so I have to keep to that. And I'm not that good at it. Sri Brahmana Uvacha. No. Sri Brahmana Uchuhu. Partha. Brajavita. Sakshad. Ikshvaku. Riva. Iva manavaha. Brahmanaya. Satyasandhascha. Ramo. Dashayatiyata. Sri Brahmana Uchu. Partha Prajavita Sakshid.
Partha Prajavita Sakshid.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Brahmanaya Satya Sandak. Sandasyascha.
Brahmanaya Satya Sandasya.
Ramo Dasha Ratiryata.
Ramo Dasha Ratiryata.
Brahmana Uchuhu.
Brahmana Uchuhu.
Partha Prajavita Saksha.
Partha Prajavita Saksha.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Ramo Dashart Ratiryata.
Ramo Dashart Ratiryata.
Sri Brahmana Uchuhu.
Sri Brahmana Uchuhu.
Partha Prajavita Saksha.
Partha Prajavita Saksha.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Ramo Dasharat Tiryata.
Ramo Dasharat Tiryata.
Brahmana Uchuhu.
Brahmana Uchuhu.
Partha Prajavita Sakshad.
Ikshvakur Iva Manavaha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Ramo Dasharatiryata.
Ramo Dasharatiryata.
Sri Brahmana Uchuhu.
Sri Brahmana Uchuhu.
Partha
Prajapati Sakshat.
Ikshvakuriva Manavaha.
Ikshvakuriva Manavaha.
Brahmanyaha Satya Sandascha.
Brahmanya Satya Sandascha.
Ramo
Ramo Dasharathir Yatha.
Sri Brahmana
Uchu.
Partha Praja Vita Sakshat.
Partha Kapita Sakshat.
Ikshvakur
Iva Manavaha.
Brahmanyah Satya Sandhascha.
Brahmanyah Satya Sandhascha.
Ramo Dasharathir Yatha.
Ramo Dasharathir Yatha.
Sri Brahmana
Uchuhu
Partha Praja Vita
Sakshad
Ikshvaku Riva Manavaha
Brahmanya Satya Sandhascha
Ramo
Dasharathir Yatha
Sri Brahmana
Uchuhu
Partha Praja Vita
Sakshad
Ikshvaku
Riva Manavaha
Brahmanya Satya
Sandhascha
Ramo
Dasharathir Yatha
Brahmanaha,
the good Brahmanas,
Uchuhu,
said,
Partha,
O son of Pritha,
Kunti,
Praja,
those who are born,
Avita,
maintainer,
Sakshad,
directly,
Ikshvaku
Iva,
exactly like King Ikshvaku,
Manavaha,
son of Manu,
Brahmanyaha,
followers and respectful
to the Brahmanas,
Satyasandaha,
truthful by promise,
Cha,
also,
Ramaha,
the personality of Godhead Rama,
Dasharati,
the son of Maharaj Dasharath,
Yata,
like him. Translation. The learned Brahmins said, O son of Pritha, this child shall be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. And as for following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Ram, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasharath. Let's say all together. The learned Brahmanas said, O son of Pritha, this child shall be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. As for following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Rama, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasa. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the friend of all, the savior of the world, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Praja means the living being who has taken his birth in the material world. What does praja mean? Actually, the living being has no birth and no death, but because of his separation from the service of the Lord and due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is offered a suitable body to satisfy his material desires. In doing so, one becomes conditioned by the laws of material nature. May I have a Bhagavad Gita, please? You know, in the 14th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is called the Three Modes of Material Nature, verse number 5, the translation is, material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. And it's Prabhupada's purport, he says. Actually, the living being has no birth and no death, but because of his separation from the service of the Lord and due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is offered a suitable body to satisfy his material desires. In doing so, one becomes conditioned by the laws of material nature, and the material body is changed in terms of his own work. The living entity thus transmigrates from one body to another in 8,400,000 species of life. But due to his being the part and parcel of the Lord, he not only is maintained with all necessaries of life by the Lord, but is also protected by the Lord and his representatives, the saintly kings. These saintly kings give protection to all the prajas, the living beings, to live and to fulfill their terms of imprisonment. Maharaj Parikshit was actually an ideal saintly king because while touring his kingdom, he happened to see that a poor cow was about to be killed by the personified Kali, whom he at once took to task as a murderer. This means that even the animals were given protection by the saintly administrators, not from any sentimental point of view, but because those who have taken their birth in the material world have the right to live. All the saintly kings, beginning from the king of the sun globe down to the king of the earth, are so inclined by the influence of the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures are taught in higher planets also, as there is reference in the Bhagavad Gita 4.1 about the teachings to the sun god Vivaswan by the Lord, and such lessons are transferred by disciplic succession, as it was done by the sun god to his son Manu, and from Manu to Maharaj Ikshvaku. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and the Manu referred to herein is the seventh Manu, who is one of the Prajapatis, those who create progeny, and he is the son of the sun god. He is known as the Vairasvata Manu. He had 10 sons, and Maharaj Ikshvaku is one of them. Maharaj Ikshvaku also learned Bhakti Yoga, as taught in the Bhagavad Gita, from his father, Manu, who got it from his father, the sun god. Later on, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita came down by disciplic succession from Maharaj Ikshvaku. But in course of time, the chain was broken by unscrupulous persons, and therefore it again had to be taught to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So all the Vedic literatures are current from the very beginning of creation of the material world, and thus the Vedic literatures are known as Apurusheya, not made by man. The Vedic knowledge was spoken by the Lord and first heard by Brahma, the first created living being within the universe. Who first heard the Vedas? Maharaj Ikshvaku, one of the sons of Vairasvata Manu, he had 100 sons. He prohibited meat eating. His son, Sadasha, became the next king after his death. Manu. The Manu mentioned in this verse as the father of Ikshvaku is the seventh Manu of the name Vairasvata Manu, the son of sun god Vivaswan, to whom Lord Krishna instructed the teachings of Bhagavad Gita prior to his teaching them to Arjuna. Mankind is the descendant of Manu. This Vaivasvata Manu had 10 sons named Ikshvaku, Nabhaga, Drishta, Sharyati, Narishanta, Nabhaga, Jishta, Karusha, Prashadra, and Vasuman. The Lord's incarnation, Matsya, the gigantic fish, was advented during the beginning of Vaivasvata Manu's reign. He learned the principles of Bhagavad Gita from his father, Vivaswan, the sun god, and he re-instructed the same to his son, Maharaj Ikshvaku. In the beginning of the Treta Yuga, the sun god instructed devotional service to Manu, and Manu in his turn instructed Ikshvaku for the welfare of the whole human society. Lord Ram, the Supreme Personality of God, had incarnated himself as Sri Ram, accepting the sonhood of his pure devotee, Maharaj Dasharatha, the king of Ayodhya. Lord Ram descended along with his plenary portions, as all of them appeared as his younger brothers. In the month of Chaitra, on the ninth day of the growing moon in the Treta Yuga, the Lord appeared as usual to establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the disturbing elements. When he was just a young boy, he helped the sage Vishvamrita by killing Subahu and striking Maricha, the she-demon, who was disturbing the sages in their daily discharge of duties. The Brahmins and Kshatriyas are meant to cooperate for the welfare of the mass of people. The Brahmin sages endeavor to enlighten the people by perfect knowledge, and the Kshatriyas are meant for their protection. Lord Ramachandra is the ideal king for maintaining and protecting the highest culture of humanity, known as Brahmanya Dharma. Brahmanya Dharma. The Lord is specifically the protector of the cows and the Brahmins, and hence he enhances the prosperity of the world. He rewarded the administrative demigods by effective weapons to conquer the demons through the agency of Vishvamrita. He was present in the bow sacrifice of King Janak, and by breaking the invincible bow of Shiva, he married Sita Devi, daughter of Maharaj Janak. After his marriage, he accepted exile in the forest for 14 years by the order of his father, Maharaj Dasharatha. To help the administration of the demigods, he killed 14,000 demons, and by the intrigues of the demons, his wife, Sita Devi, was kidnapped by Ravana. He made friendship with Sugriv, who was helped by the Lord to kill Vali, brother of Sugriv. By the help of Lord Ram, Sugriv became the king of the Vanaras, a race of gorillas. The Lord built a floating bridge on stones on the Indian Ocean and reached Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana, who had kidnapped Sita. Later on, Ravana was killed by him, and Ravana's brother, Bibhishan, was installed on the throne of Lanka. Bibhishan was one of the brothers of Ravana, a demon, but Lord Ram made him immortal by his blessings. On the expiry of 14 years, after settling the affairs at Lanka, the Lord came back to his kingdom, Ayodhya, by flower plain. He instructed his brother Shatrughna to attack Labnasura, who reigned at Mathura, and the demon was killed. He performed 10 Ashwamedha sacrifices, and later on he disappeared while taking bath in the Sharayu River. The great epic Ramayana is the history of Lord Ram's activities in the world, and the authoritative Ramayana was written by the great poet Valmiki. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nidatam Dina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Sayam Rupa Katahmayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Ta Shivishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. prem anane haribo. The learned Brahmins said, O Sanaprita, this child shall be exactly like King Ikshvaku, son of Manu, in maintaining all those who are born. And as for following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Ram, the personality of Godhead, the son of Maharaj Dasharath. So, King Yudhisthira has asked the Brahmins present from the previous verse, O great souls, will he become as saintly a king, as pious in his very name, and as famous and glorified in his achievements as others who appeared in this great royal family? And so the Brahmins are great seers of things to come, and they're assuring him in this verse that when Parikshit, better or worse?
Better.
When Parikshit appears, he'll have all these good qualities, and there's a saying that in a forest, if there's one fragrant flower, it can adorn the whole forest with a beautiful scent. And when there's somebody present with good qualities, then everyone benefits. Everyone in the world benefits. And especially when the leader has these good qualities, the prajapati. There's special qualities necessary for one to be a prajapati. Praja means the living entities born into the material world. They're, as Prabhupada says in this purport, undergoing a sentence, because the world is like a prison cell. But they're parts and parcels of Krishna, and they need to be protected, and they should be cared for. The prajapati, the great kings who are saintly, they understand who these living entities are and why they're here and what their purpose in life is. They don't have the inclination to exploit them. Their heart is that of a great soul. Mahatmanas tumam parta daivim prakriti mashrita bhajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutatim avyayam. Krishna describes how the Mahatmas are under the control of the spiritual nature. They're Mahatmas, they're great souls. And they see other living beings equally. Vidya vinaya sampani brahmani gavi hastani shuni chaiva shupakecha pundita samadarshina. Krishna says that the learned person is one who sees the same soul in the dog, the elephant, the Brahmin, the dog eater. He sees how the soul is present. It's just in a different phase of life. And he doesn't discriminate between animals or human beings. There is a discrimination because, for instance, a great saint or a learned person doesn't go and offer obeisances to a tiger knowing that he could have his head taken off by the tiger. But he understands that the tiger is actually a spirit soul within a particular kind of body. So these great leaders, these great kings who have this vision, are able to take care of the living entities under their charge, and When that's the case, then everyone feels satisfied. And Prabhupada mentions here that actually it's the kings are maintaining everyone. They're seeing to it that everyone has their needs met, and that the society is organized in such a way that everyone's progressing spiritually. And, of course, they're kshatriyas, so when there's a need to cut down the elements in society that are disturbing people's natural progress in spiritual life, then the kshatriya is inclined to use force to do that. It's for a good cause. A non-violent policeman is not wanted or needed. There used to be a bumper sticker in the 60s by the conservative. There was lots of hippies everywhere who were saying flower power and non-violence without knowing its application. And there was a saying that next time you're being robbed, call a hippie. Who's sorry, I can't help you, I'm nonviolent. But the kshatriyas are not like that. They know how to apply their benevolence in all kinds of circumstances, and therefore the society's peaceful because they know the goal of life and they know what the purpose of society is, and they do their job in order to keep everyone going in the right direction. That is the definition by Lord Rishabhadev for any kind of leader. He says, don't become a mother, don't become a father, don't become a spiritual master, don't become a worshipable anything unless you're able to deliver your dependents from a birth, death, old age, and disease. That's your job. It's your job to deliver yourself also. Otherwise, you're called a kripana, and you're called an atmaha. Kripana means a miser. It means someone gave you $1 million and you wasted it. Here's $1 million and you come back a month later and say, like, what'd you do with it? I don't know. It's just gone. So we have to invest the great asset we've been given, and we also have a duty to assist those who are dependents. Anyone who's dependent, we have to assist them in going back home, back to Godhead. So the question was, will Parikshit have these great qualities as others have had, and now they're giving specific names. The Brahmins are saying that he will be exactly like King Ikshvaku, the son of Manu, in his maintaining all those who are born. And he says, and as for following the Brahminical principles, especially in being true to his promise, he shall be exactly like Ram, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people say that Indologists and archaeologists and other kinds of ologists speculate about whether or not Ram actually walked the earth. We say, okay. Say he didn't walk the earth. Somebody walked the earth. Millions of years later, people still remember Ram. People still chant his name. People are inspired by his qualities. People paint pictures of Ram. So Krishna, his qualities are so great. Tad ejati tad naijati tad dure tad vantike tarantarasya sarvasya taru sarvasya sibai. The Supreme Lord walks and does not walk. He's far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, and yet he's outside of everything. The greatness of Ram and what he did, millions of years ago, it's still resonating all over the world. It's still inspiring people. Whereas other people, millions and billions of them who walk the earth, who had a lack of these good qualities are not remembered at all. There was simply a burden on others, and they just had to be maintained. But Lord Ramachandra, his honesty is remembered. It's a force. The fact that he was exiled to the forest and went away without any remonstration, because it was the order of his father. And after he went to the forest, and his father died out of separation, his brother, Bharat, was so distraught with being given this kingdom which belonged to Ram through some kind of miscommunication and intrigue that had taken place between his mother and Mantra and her calling in her boons that Maharaj Dasarath owed her. He, Bharat, went to the forest with all the armies to bring Ram back and say, I don't want the kingdom, you come back now. I won't take it. Ram, Lakshman, Sita were already in the forest for a long time when these armies came. And from a vantage point, high in a tree, Lakshman saw that the banners were those of Bharat. And he thought, oh, he's coming here to fight with Ram. And he climbed down and told Ram that Bharat's coming. Ram said, no, I think he's coming for benevolent reasons. He would never come to fight with me. So Bharat and other Brahmins and all the soldiers came nearby to where Ram was. They had searched him out through asking people in the forest, and they eventually found him. And Bharat fell at the feet of Ram and said, please, come back, take the kingdom back. And Ram said, it was the order of my father that I stay in the forest, and therefore I cannot take it back. This is my duty. This is the kind of quality that a leader should have. This is the kind of quality that one needs to have in order to progress in spiritual life. That I've been given an order by my spiritual master. I have an order. And therefore, whatever comes, I can't take it back. This was Srila Prabhupada's determination. He was given an order to come to the West, and whatever way it took, sitting outside the office of the Scindia Steamship Company, who wouldn't go away until the owner gave him a ticket. Doing whatever he had to do in order to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, and would not give it up under any circumstances. These are the qualities that Ram showed us. And these are the qualities that are going to be in Maharaj Parikshit, say the Brahmins. So, there's also an important section that in this purport, if I may revisit. At the beginning of the purport, Praja means the living being who has taken his birth in the material world. Actually, the living being has no birth and death, but because of his separation from the service of the Lord and due to his desire to lord it over material nature, he is offered a suitable body to satisfy his material desires. In doing so, one becomes conditioned by the laws of material nature, and the material body is changed in terms of his own work. The living entity thus transmigrates from one body to another in 8,400,000 species of life. But due to his being a part and parcel of the Lord, he not only is maintained with all necessities of life by the Lord, but is also protected by the Lord and his representatives, the saintly kings. These saintly kings give protection to all the prajas, or living beings, to live and to fulfill their terms of imprisonment. Maharaj Parikshit was actually an ideal saintly king because while touring his kingdom, he happened to see that a poor cow was about to be killed by the personified Kali, whom he at once took to task as a murderer. This means that even the animals were given protection by the saintly administrators, not from any sentimental point of view, but because those who have taken their birth in the material world have a right to live. All the saintly kings, beginning from the king of the sun globe down to the king of the earth, are so inclined by the influence of Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures are taught in the higher planets also, and there is reference in the Bhagavad Gita 4.1 about the teachings to the sun god Vivaswan by the Lord. And such lessons are transferred by disciplic succession, as it was done by the sun god to his son Manu, and from Manu to Maharaj Ikshvaku. There are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, and the Manu referred to herein is the seventh Manu, who is one of the Prajapatis, those who create progeny, and he is the son of the sun god. He is known as the Vaivasvatu Manu. He had 10 sons, and Maharaj Ikshvaku is one of them. Maharaj Ikshvaku also learned Bhakti Yoga as taught in the Bhagavad Gita from his father Manu, who got it from his father, the sun god. Later, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita came down by disciplic succession from Maharaj Ikshvaku. But in course of time, the chain was broken by unscrupulous persons, and therefore it again had to be taught to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So all the Vedic literatures are current from the very beginning of creation of the material world, and thus the Vedic literatures are known as a Purusheya, not made by man. The Vedic knowledge was spoken by the Lord and first heard by Brahma, the first created living being within the universe. I find interesting this statement by Prabhupada that the disciplic succession was broken by unscrupulous people, unscrupulous men, and it has to be renewed. So this is something also that Krishna tells Uddhava in the Bhagavatam, that the disciplic succession constantly has to be renewed, because it's the nature of this world that everything gets distorted and changed. And therefore, there has to be a chain of disciplic succession so that the message is protected. Password protected. You can't just, you know, grab a book off a shelf or, you know, approach the Vedas by yourself. You actually have to know the password, and you have to go through the system and understand it correctly through tapasya and through approaching somebody who has the message correctly and hearing and performing service and submissively rendering service, and then the message gets passed on correctly. So this is the light of the world, that the message comes through and in a way that people can take it and apply it in their lives, and this is the real purpose of the material world. And that's, these kings know that. That's their duty, is to deliver everyone, and therefore they're passing the message down. And so this is the urgent need in our lives, is to prepare ourselves to take that message and understand it clearly. So that means we have to live a certain kind of lifestyle, and we have to hear correctly, properly, in disciplic succession, and then apply it. And then we'll be successful in life. Hare Krishna. So reflections or questions we have time for? Yes, Sri Govinda Datto.
You told about, in the beginning you told about Srimad Bhagavatam, that reading Srimad Bhagavatam, the goal is Krishna Prema. So I was just thinking about the question, like, when we read Bhagavatam, how can we make sure that we are going towards that goal instead of going some other way. Like, you can be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, get knowledge, or maybe austerities, jnana, whatever. So how can we, like, how can we know that we are moving that towards that goal?
So the question was, if I understand you correctly, I had said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Praman, and reading it is the way to perfection. How can we be sure, or what is the proper way to read Bhagavatam so that we attain the goal, and how can we know that we're attaining the goal as we go forward? Like, the two questions, right?
Yeah, like, second question is more, I'm trying to ask, like, we can read Bhagavatam with the right intention to move towards the goal, but is there any check and balance, like, okay, we can see in ourselves some qualities or some traits developing that we know that we are moving towards that goal, Krishna Prema.
And the first question?
First,
how to do it?
Only this question.
Just this question. Okay, so the question that you've put is, as we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, how can we know that we're actually advancing as we're hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam? How can we know that that's taking place, right? In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is an oft-quoted verse by Srila Prabhupada, bhakti parishanu bhavo viraktir anyata traisa trika eka kala prapadya manasi tasnata sus tushti pushti shuddha payonu gasa. And this means that it compares the process of devotional service to a hungry person's eating food. When I'm hungry and I eat nourishing food, I'll immediately get satisfaction, nourishment, and eradication of hunger. And I know it for myself. I can feel it. Like yesterday, I got really hungry, and I was preoccupied. I was doing a lot of work, and it went on for a long, long time. And then I felt a little morose, and I also felt like tired. Like, and then I was thinking, maybe I'm becoming an old man already, maybe I've lost any tiny little vestige of spiritual power I ever had, and this is going through my head. And then I thought, well, maybe I'm just hungry. And then I ate. And as soon as I ate, I immediately felt optimistic. I felt, this is a fact, and I felt strong again. I felt like I could jump high and run fast. And it was directly perceived. I could see it for myself. I could feel it for myself. So Shastra says, in the same way as a hungry person eats and feels satisfied, nourished, and the hunger goes away, similarly, when you perform devotional service, like hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti parishanu bhava viraktir anyatra chaisa trika eka kala, what happens simultaneously, these three things come, and automatically, bhakti. This natural devotion for Krishna, attraction for Krishna, awakens. Parishanubhava. Anubhava means you directly perceive Krishna for yourself. And virakti anyatra cha, which means detachment from other things that are not related to Krishna. So what are other things not related to Krishna? Well, everything can be related to Krishna, but we might know what our anartas are ourselves. Everyone has a different set of anartas. There are three modes of material nature. They mix together in various combinations, 3 times 3, 9 times 9, 81 times 81, and then you get a combination. So people have lots of different kinds of anartas, and they can be varied in many different ways. Now, you know them for yourself. As you're performing your devotional service, are you becoming free from your anartas? Whatever that anarta is, Facebook could be related to Krishna. It could also be a major anarta that you have to keep pushing that button and whatever. But when you become so distracted by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting Hare Krishna that you don't have time for other things, then you feel that you're becoming detached in a real way because you have somewhere to go. Sorry, I'm busy. I got my Bhagavatam to read. In the beginning, it's by practice. And as we practice, the taste is actually there. Rupa Goswami says it's just like a person who has jaundice and doesn't taste the sweetness of sugarcane juice, which is a curative. As he or she continues to drink the juice, the taste comes because the cure is there. So we should directly feel the cure as we're hearing. And the modes of material nature don't pinch us as much. We should see that that pinching is going away. It's gradually diminishing, and we'll notice the signs for ourselves. Basic answer. Okay, Hare Krishna. Yes, Hansapriya.
Two reflections. One, I like that I should be on a go. I thought that was a very nice description this morning on it. And in the purport, the statement caught my attention where it says, due to his being the part and parcel of the Lord, he's not only the maintained with all the necessaries of the life by the Lord, but also he is protected by the Lord and his representative, the saintly kings. I was just thinking that how much we already have, we don't need to worry about how am I going to be maintained and if I would have my necessities met or not. But still wasted so much life just running after that.
Yeah, that's a huge thing, and it really relates to your question also, that how much am I invested in maintaining myself? And seeing actually that just by taking shelter of Krishna, everything else is being taken care of automatically, is another sign of advancing in devotional service. Shraddha shabde bishvas kohi sudridhanishchoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma Krishna kritahoy. That I have this feeling that everything, I actually see the truth, everything's being taken care of by Krishna automatically for all living entities. For devotees, Krishna even more personally delivers what they need in a very personal way because he sees this person surrendering. He's no longer taking care of himself. So Krishna comes and actually personally maintains the devotee. Thank you for those reflections.
Yeah? Even though we are turned away from Krishna, Krishna is so kind to just give us. And when we are separated and we have completely not looking there, and still he's so merciful. And for us, if something we separate from something, we just get morose. But Krishna still doesn't forgive us. And
yeah. We're his parts and parcels. There's a very intimate relationship. Question? Yes. Kameshwari.
In this, I have two questions, Prabhuji. In this verse, the learned brahmanas are bringing out the brahmanical principles out of all the different qualities of Lord Ram. And I was just thinking there is some significance to it, and I wanted to know what is the significance of bringing out the brahmanical principles. Whereas for the Lord Ram, we say more like a bravely king, undefeatable king, and like that. That is the one question. And another thing, question I wanted to ask is about the in those days, did they also have the first and second initiation process for the like second initiation for the brahmanical? Whoever has the brahmanical qualities, then the spiritual master can formally give them that you are a brahmana now, like that.
Okay. So, regarding the first question, that why do they mention Ram in relationship with the brahmanical principles, right? and Namo Brahmanya Devaya Gopuramahitaya Cha Jagatitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. This verse Prabhupada mentions. Throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find statements about how Krishna is especially fond of the cows and the Brahmins. And this is, he's known as Bhaktivatsal. He's especially inclined towards his devotees. And he's also especially inclined towards those who are teaching his message to others. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter, that there's no one in the world more dear to him than the persons who are giving this knowledge to others, teaching the other devotees about these, his intimate devotional service and so on. And that's the business of the Brahmins. And the cows are the source of all religious principles. All the demigods reside within the body of the cow, and the cows, just by their association, I read the other day that sometimes in insane asylums, they bring cows in to calm everybody down. Because just because they're fully in the mode of goodness, just by their association, people become elevated. So intrinsically, cows and Brahmins are good and, you know, full of these religious principles, and eternally, Krishna is putting them forward as the saviors of society. They're meant to lead society, the Brahmins are, and the cows are necessary in all ways to continue the Vedic culture. After all, you know, the kinds of sacrifices that are done are fire yagyas requiring ghee. You can't perform a fire sacrifice without ghee. And in the Krishna book, we find that even after a demon was killed, the residents of Vrindavan would bring out cow dung and cow urine, and they would you know, purify the place. And Krishna, they would dust him with the dust that came from the hooves of the calves and the cows, and this is an intimate part of a Vedic culture, this Brahminical culture. The Brahmins are the head. And cows, after all, we just read in the Brahma Samhita, are Krishna's personal pets. He's very much attached to them. So it's something, it's a recurring theme throughout the Bhagavatam, the necessity of Brahmins and cows. And without them, without the head, you can't, without the Brahmins at the head, then there's no direction in society. Everyone becomes lost. It's one thing Prabhupada said, he was creating Brahmins. He wanted to create a Brahminical class, because even if there were some people in society that were actual Brahmins, means they were living in the mode of goodness and they knew the goal of life and they could teach it to others, then society could be saved. Otherwise, you have a headless society running around. And there's disaster in that. And the second question was about, what was that? Was there first and second initiation all those years ago in the time of Lord Ramachandra? There was second initiation, yes. This a person becomes dvija when he or she takes second initiation. This is it's a Vedic tradition that on the first birth, that's an animal birth, just like any other animal is born. But the second birth means that one takes the initiation. I mean, what to speak of the time of Ram, Brahma, who's the first living being in the universe before there's anybody else, takes this second initiation, what we call second initiation. This is called the Diksha. Divyam Gyan Mito Dadyat kuryat papa sa sangshayam tasmat dikshayti sa prokta deshi kais tat fakovidai. What is diksha? Diksha means that process by which all of one's sins are destroyed. This is spoken by learned persons, as the verse says. This is from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And so this initiation, Brahma got directly from Krishna. Right? He was meditating. He's trying to fulfill the purpose of life and understand what was the purpose of life, which is actually the purpose of life, to ask that question. Atato Brahma Jignasa. So Brahma, being very intelligent, was asking, who am I? What is my purpose? And then Uvachat paratastasmai tasya divya saraswati kama krishnaya govinda he gopi jana ityapi balabhaya priya nirmantram te dasati priyam. Divine Saraswati, the representative of Krishna, came before him and gave him this mantra and said, practice this mantra. Tapastam tapa etena tavasiddhya bhavishyati. You'll get all perfection from this. So that he practiced, and then atate pe suchiram prinan govindamaviyam. For a long time, he performed this austerity practicing. And then came atavenu nanadasya trai murti mayigati spuranti pravivesha shu mukabjani swayam buvaha. He was initiated. How? By the flute song of Sri Krishna. That's what Gayatri Mantra is. It's the flute song of Sri Krishna. So it entered his ears. He became enlightened by that initiation. Divyam jnanam tadyat kuryat papa sasangshayam. Sin is destroyed by that, and one gets divine knowledge through the initiation, the second initiation. So from the very beginning of creation, that is there. That's the purpose of life, to take that, to come up to the Brahminical standard and to take that sound vibration that is Gayatri. It's the song, Gaya, that is Trayate. Tri means to deliver. It delivers you from the material world, from all kinds of sins. So yes, it's been there. First initiation, that's another thing. We have first initiation in our ISKCON society. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave first initiation. First initiation we call Harinam initiation. Technically, there is no Harinam initiation historically. Because really the holy name, you'll find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, does not depend on initiation. It's an open mantra. It's not password protected. And the other mantras are password protected. This mantra is open. Anyone can go and take it and begin chanting the mantra. It's in the vocative mode, and you can sing it out, and you can also get perfection. However, the acharyas direct us in a certain way, and that is when you take the Harinam initiation, you must also take shelter of a Vaishnav who's perfectly chanting. And when you do that, then you also get Sambandha Gyan. Under the shelter of a Vaishnav, you should be taking direction about Sambandha Gyan. This is the instruction of Haridas Thakur. He says, while you're chanting the holy name, you need to be constantly avoiding the offenses in order to make advancement. And to do that, you have to hear under the shelter of an advanced devotee. And therefore, if that initiation is available, which is really, it means to go to somebody and say, you know, I'm chanting under you. This is Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism means who are you under? You know, you don't just walk in and say, it's direct. Because Krishna says in the Adi Purana to Arjuna, he says, anyone who says they're my devotee, they're not my devotee. But anyone who says they're the devotee of my devotee, they're my devotee. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, if someone's a great devotee of Lord Narayan, there's a question whether he'll be delivered or not. But if someone's the devotee of Lord Narayan, there's no question that he'll be delivered. These are the statements throughout the Shastra that one is, you know, directed by a Vaishnava. So in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one goes to a person of some spiritual standing who is in, you know, who's connected and who's chanting. And there are certain qualities one should look for when one is dedicating one's life to someone and, you know, taking shelter. Shabde parita nishnatam Brahmanyupashramashrayam. You should look for someone who's taken a dip in the ocean of transcendental knowledge and who's sense controlled and doesn't have any other business. That's their business, you know. They're solidly standing on this principle of devotional service. Then when you go and you take the Harinam, you'll be able to make rapid advancement. And there's a way in which when you take the name from somebody, from an advanced Vaishnav, you also get the conception of the name is there. There's an intangible there. You know, any kind of learning or process where you're making advancement, when you go to the person, there's something you get that you don't get out of a book. First of all, Krishna's will is there because he blesses it when you go to a Vaishnav. And also, there's a difference in the vibration when it comes out of certain people, you know, those who have some realization of the mantra and they give it to you, they also pass that on to you, that very specific kind of mantra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted the holy name, many people heard it and they became pure devotees and they began chanting the mantra. And then when they chant the mantra and other people would hear it, they would also become pure devotees. And this is the way, Prabhupada says, the disciple succession goes on. One person hears it from the next and it gets passed down like that. So the essence of what is first initiation has always been there in Vaishnavism. The essence of that principle is that we don't go directly to Krishna, but we're the servant of the servant of the servant. This is actually the most direct. This is the mystery of disciplic succession. Some people say, no, let me cut forward. I'll just cut forward and cut out everybody else and I'll go right to the I'll go right to the source. I'll take, you know, direct initiation from Krishna or from Rupa Goswami. Or nowadays, this is the current trend among some people. I'll just go to Prabhupada, forget everybody else. Prabhupada's here, he started the institution, and therefore, forget everyone else, I'll just go straight to Prabhupada. But this is not Vaishnavism. We're the servant of the servant of the servant. It gets passed down in that way. And when we take shelter, this is called humility. Trinadapi suni chena. So why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stressed this, Trinadapi suni chena, that we should hang this verse around our neck. And part of that means how we take shelter. So the essence of first initiation has always been there, that to approach Krishna, we approach through a Vaishnav. And the other kind of initiation, which we call the Panchatrik initiation, the taking the mantras that are password protected, we have to do that from a person. And that's the code. That's part of the code, you know, getting it. You don't get it from the book. You take it directly from the book and there's no fruit, Shastra says. Sampradaya vihina ye mantraste nishpala mataha. You could take it directly, but you won't get the fruit. There was also a very curious kind of description given about this in the Shastras, about taking these mantras, the Diksha mantras, from a person. It says, banyan trees, they come from seeds, obviously, but the seed itself doesn't germinate in the ground until the birds, which are part of the ecosystem around the banyan tree, they pick them up, they eat them, they digest them, and then they pass them. And what happens then is the enzyme in their stomach that interacts with the seed germinates the seed. It dissolves the hard outer covering, and then it allows it to grow. So similarly, they say, when we take the mantra in the proper way, through someone who's digested it, so to speak, then it'll bear fruit. You know, take it like that. So the essence of what initiation is has always been there, but and the second initiation and how it's done, you know, has always been there. The first initiation, specifically in ISKCON, Prabhupada emphasized that. You'll find also in other Gaudiya groups, The Gaudiya tradition is rampant nowadays. Everywhere there are Gaudiyas. This, you know, there are people chanting Hare Krishna in many groups besides ISKCON, and others of them have slightly different traditions when it comes to first initiation. They don't do it just like us. Like, you know, you get an initiation like that, you know, because some other groups, they'll give you first initiation if you just walk in and listen to a class. Yeah, that's just their tradition. And then they'll say, yeah, here's your initiation. And then the idea is that you'll come up to the standard later. Prabhupada didn't do it like that. He wanted us to come up to the standard, then take the initiation. Although Kurunath Prabhu was pointing out that the very first devotees who took initiation from Prabhupada had no idea what they were doing, because they took the initiation. Prabhupada said, initiation's tomorrow, and they sat down and did it. And then Prabhupada, the next day, put up the rules and regulations and said, by the way, there's no illicit sex, there's no intoxication, there's no gambling, you know, what?
Prabhuji, I have a question. Regarding, you know, the Gayatri Mantra, which needs a qualification, and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which sometimes explained like it is freely available. So some people may think that, you know, that Hare Krishna Mahamantra is something inferior because it is freely available and that needs a qualification. So how to explain, like, you know, Hare Krishna Mahamantra?
Okay, so if you draw two circles, and so there's The Hari Nam is like the big circle, one big circle, because it comes from the highest point, Goloka Vrindavan, and it reaches to the lowest point, Jagai Madai, or, you know, take anybody in Silicon Valley, except for you, all of you. And so from the highest, it reaches to the lowest. So you've got this one big circle. Now, when you start chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, the lowest of people can start to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and make advancement to a higher level. Yanama deha shravanad ukirtanad yat pravanad yat smaranad api kuchit shadyo pisadyo savanaya kalpate punat kutaste punar darshanat. Just by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one gets elevated because you're actually touching Krishna. And so now, there's the big circle. Now within that big circle, there's a small circle. And When you start to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, immediately you'll become purified, but then that smaller circle, that's the Gayatri Mantra, it comes in to help you, to assist you, to rise above the modes of material nature, which are so persistent. They are so persistent. Anyone who's trying to make advancement, seriously trying to make advancement, will discover for themselves how persistent those modes of material nature are. Our swabhava, which is called, you know, our nature. Krishna describes to Arjuna. Arjuna says, I'll walk away from this battle because I don't like it. Forget this. Forget this duty. Forget my kshatriya thing. I'm not doing it anymore. It's not very nice. And Krishna says, walk away. You'll do it somewhere else. Doesn't matter. You've got your svabhava. How to overcome that is very difficult. And in Kali Yuga, that was 5,000 years ago. Arjuna was he's coming in this line of great people. Kali Yuga, everyone's a mutt. You know, with no samskar, and in fact, retrograde samskar means that the sound vibration and the impressions that people have when they're born into Kali Yuga are so disturbing that most people can't stop taking intoxication, or they can't stop, you know, illicit sex and all these other things that are like pouring water on the fire when you're trying to light it. So that's when the Gayatri Mantra and the Panchatrikviti regulations come in. When you rise a little bit on the Harinam side, now you've got the next ring to grab onto. That's the circle of the Gayatri. That's the Panchatrikviti. And then when you grab that, your brahminical life begins, and there's actually a chance now. Jiva Goswami says holy name can deliver anybody. But because in Kali Yuga there's no samskar, there's no Brahmins, good luck. You'll never make it. You have to have these other panchatric regulations and more regulation, it's nectar. The Gayatri Mantra is a very personal offering to Krishna. You're making a flower offering to Krishna at least three times a day. These mantras are you know, very intimate, and it also, they're meant to be used in deity worship. And when you learn deity worship properly and using the correct mantras, then actually you become fortified in devotional service. How to make an offering, how to dress the deity, and go on and organize your life around the deity. It gives you this fortification by which you can actually stand against the mighty forces of Kali Yuga and not be knocked down. And then, therefore, you can continue chanting the holy name. Now, big circles still there, little circles in the middle. You rise both Harinam and Panchratrik Mantra to a high enough level. Now, once you reach the top level, you're not going to need those Panchratrik Mantras. Only holy name is prevalent there in the spiritual world. But it will deliver you to the higher realms and until the holy name becomes most prominent. So that's the relationship. Everyone should read about and start cultivating about this. You know, Uddhava says Lord Krishna says to Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how you purify a mantra is through knowledge. You should know what you're chanting. That's why when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you're taking shelter, you're getting good shiksha. You have a good shiksha network where you're understanding what am I chanting and you're cultivating it. Then you'll really think about it. It's not internet, you know. You start to think, you know, what? This is Krishna. This is Krishna. I need Krishna, and you know, you chant. That's how you have a chance. If you don't have that, you don't have much of a chance. You can go on chanting Hare Krishna for millions of births, but if you're making offenses, you won't get the fruit. You have to get the fruit. You have to every day get something. And you should chant like that every day. Every day you should wake up with this expectation. In fact, you should go to sleep with the expectation that I'm going to wake up tomorrow like a shot, get all my, you know, ablutions done so I can get something. Go with your hand open. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying in this thing. He's saying that he's begging for the holy name. You got to be ready for it. Get up to beg and try to get something. Don't walk away with nothing. So, Krishna, you didn't give me anything. I haven't got anything yet. I'm staying longer. I'm sitting here till I go. That's how Prabhupada got to America. He sat in front of the steamship. I said, I'm not leaving. I'll starve. I'll die. Whatever. I don't care. I'm taking it. That's how you have to be in order to get that, you know, something, some inspiration from the mantra. Hare Krishna.
Just last. So the process was the same for the Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. It's the same that they have to rise to the level of Brahmanas because they are ahead of all other orders.
Is the process the same for everybody? No. Yeah. Shudras don't take the Brahminical initiation in the Varnashram system. In the Varnashram system, there are different duties and, you know, ideas, because the idea is in Varnashram, everyone's working in such a way, society is organized in such a way that everyone is automatically making advancement because the center point is Krishna. It's kind of like today, if you drive home and you obey all the traffic laws, you'll please President Obama because you didn't break the law. That's Varnashram. In a way, you know, it accommodates everybody, so they're working harmoniously and not doing vikarma all over the place and destroying themselves. We have sort of, Kali Yuga is a little topsy turvy, and so in our marg, we're bringing in everyone and giving them a chance. This is the idea of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Give everyone a chance. Doesn't matter if they have a little desire for spiritual life, get them in the system so they can move forward. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gop Premanande Adibo. Hare Krishna. Kishore, I'll be there at about a quarter till. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Do we have a greeter?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You're going. All right. So let's put all the books away, and then we'll have Guru Puja. And Prasadam, of course. Guru Puja is finished, so now it's time for Prasadam. Jai. And today's cook was Bhaktivatsal Prabhu. Haribol!